How you guys doing? Yeah? I hope you're having a good weekend. I'm excited just to see you guys hanging out and playing and connecting with each other, connecting even with the message. But I wanted to do a little bit of review again. So I've got some more candy to give away. But you have to earn it, right? So I need to know if you remember any of the main points from this morning, okay? Can you think of any? What do you got? Social identity was from last night. I need something from this morning. Okay, I'm going to jump over here. What's that? You have a new status. Yes. Fantastic. Look, an extra bonus one fell on the ground. I think it's root beer. All right, somebody else. What have you got? I'm going to go red hand in the back in the middle. Yes, that's you. Yes. A new way of life. Look at you remembering. In the Chicago hat. Here we go. You ready? Here they come. Heads up. Yeah. How about over here? Can you remember another one? What do you got? There is new opposition. You're right. The enemy wants to mess up our lives, right? Who can remember the last one? Yeah, way in the back. Grace Leave. Yeah, yeah. What is it? New priorities. Yeah. There it comes. Oh, good. All right. Excellent. What, you just want one for fun? There you go. Oh, what? Oh, he stole it. I saw that. Heads up. All right, so we're done. You can put your hands down. We've got a new status, right? A new family. That we are part of God's family, that we have a new destiny. We talked about a new way to live, which was our old self versus our new self, right? Where's Simon? Simon got a new t-shirt, right? He put on the new self. That was good. New opposition. Are you in the back? No, nice. The enemy, the devil, is trying to mess up things in our lives. But we have new priorities as well, right? Putting God first. Not easy thing to do, but a good thing to do. Okay, so we've done our little review. I like movies. Do you guys like movies? I did you a favor tonight, and I attached a movie to every main point to help you remember, right? Like my hat, right? My favorite Batman movie? Probably Lego Batman. Just saying. I like The Dark Knight, but still, Lego Batman's hilarious. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But here's the thing. I don't just like movies. I like movies particularly that are about hope. There's some kind of adversity, and in the story, there's something that happens, and there's hope, right? And that either the princess is rescued, or the problem is resolved, or the heroes become heroes in the story and do something heroic to rescue or save, or whether there's some kind of hope. Mainly because I don't like my entertainment to be depressing, right? So stories of hope I think are cool. But I thought it would be fun to attach movies to each of our main points. So here's the first one. It's going to be A New Hope. Can you guess what movie we're going to talk about? Yeah, duh, Star Wars, yeah, for sure. Do you guys like Star Wars? So the first Star Wars movie is A New Hope, the first one they made, right? The Force Awakens is kind of the reboot, the first movie of the reboot, right? With the new characters, which I enjoyed as well. But here's what I want you to kind of go back to the story in your mind. If you've seen either one of them, this will hopefully connect with you, right? In Star Wars A New Hope, the galaxy is in trouble, right? The dark side is rising up and the evil empire is spreading. Princess Leia is captured by Darth Vader when she puts this famous message inside of R2-D2. Do you remember it? Help me, Obi-Wan. You're my only hope. Yes. You like my Princess Leia voice? It's fabulous. So it's up to Luke Skywalker, right, to save the princess and bring hope to the galaxy by training to become a Jedi, right? Yay, fun story. All right, so in The Force Awakens, if you remember, if you've seen it, the character Rey, the girl, she was abandoned by her parents on Jakku, right? She spends a large part of the movie waiting for her family, her parents to return for her but they don't, right? She's holding out hope, but they don't return for her. When she's captured by Kylo Ren, if you remember the story, Finn comes to rescue her, right? After she breaks out of the holding cell, she meets up with Finn and gives him this huge hug and says this. Do you remember? You came back for me. It's an awe, yes, and it's not just romantic. Like, remember, her parents had abandoned her. So this is a big part of the movie. Not just awe, but like, ah, like, wow, you came back for me. And then Chewbacca's like, and then she realizes it was Finn's idea to come back for her, right? That's a big deal. That's a big deal. Here's why it's a big deal. Because she needed some hope, right? She certainly did. And so do we. So we're going to look at Titus 2 again. Here we go. New hope. While we look forward, check this out, with hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be revealed. You guys, I want you to grab a hold of this for a second. And it might take a minute, but I hope you can grab it. We have a future hope. Check this out. Jesus is coming back for us. Just like Finn came back for Rey, right? Jesus is going to come back again to planet Earth, all right? He came the first time as a suffering servant, right? And he came and he died for our sins as a sacrificial lamb. But when he comes again, the second time, he's coming in power and glory to take his church, us, all the believers in Christ, together to be with him forever. When he returns, it's going to be awesome and powerful and amazing. And I don't want you to lose sight of it. Sometimes in your teenage life, you might just forget that Jesus is coming back for you. Have you ever wondered and wanted to see him, to meet him, to talk to him, to see if he's really real or not? That you have not been abandoned or forgotten by God. That he is coming back for all of us. And that is great hope and great news. But it's a future hope, right? It's not right now, but it's coming. I want to read you what Matthew has to say about this. In Matthew chapter 24, it says, they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with the power and great glory. And he will send his angels, and with a loud trumpet call, they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. This awesome picture, right? Revelation even talks about it, the return of Christ. He's coming back a second time to gather up his church, to gather up the believers, which is amazing. He's coming for us, which is cool. Here's what 1 Thessalonians says, because you might wonder, well, what if you've already died? Well, they wondered that too in the Bible, and here's what it says. It says, for the Lord himself, this is talking about Jesus, will come down from heaven, and with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. You hear all this fanfare, right? And the dead in Christ will rise first. And after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. Can you picture that? I don't know how that's going to work. I don't completely understand what that means. But somehow, we're going to meet Jesus in the clouds. How do we do that? I don't know. Does your body fly? No. Is it going to on that day? Maybe. Because that's kind of cool. I don't know how it's going to work. How does it work if the dead rise and then the people are living and then it's just like, are we just going to see bodies flying into this? That's weird and crazy. You guys, I don't have an answer. I'm reading to you from the Bible. This is what the Bible says. Here's what I don't want you to forget. Jesus is coming back for us. That is awesome. What it looks like sounds like a sci-fi movie and slightly zombie-ish. Right? The dead coming back, and I don't know how that all works, but in God's awesome plan, it says this at the end of that passage. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. Okay, I'm going to encourage you with these words that Jesus is going to return. And I don't know exactly what that looks like, but I think we can find some hope and some comfort in knowing that. But that's for the future. But Jesus isn't just about the future. It's not just about heaven later. It actually is also about now. So I wanted to show you this. Okay, we have this future hope, but we also have a present hope right now. So if I asked you, has God helped you in any way in your life? Put up your hand. Has God ever helped you? Yeah. You guys, we could sit and talk and tell story after story after story how God has helped us now. There is hope now. Jesus wants to help you now in your high school, in your middle school, in your family, at your neighborhood, in your home. Jesus wants to infiltrate all these areas of your life, and he doesn't want to just wait until he returns for you. He doesn't want to just wait until heaven. He wants to help you now. And I think we know that that's true. Here's what 1 Peter 5 says. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. That's a cool verse. Matthew 11 says this. Then Jesus said, come to me, all you are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Any of you stressed out, worn out, a little bit weary, life been a little bit hard, things have been a bit tough, family life been a little difficult, school been challenging? This is good news. Jesus says right now, in the present, come to me, he says, and I will give you rest for your soul. Bring your heavy burdens and lay them down at my feet, because I want to help you. You guys, that verse helps me when I think about that. And when I actually let go of my burdens, I'm like, all right, Jesus, here's my job. Here's my family. Here's my kids. Here's my health. Here's our money situation. Here's my school situation. And lift it up to him. You know what I've found? He helps. He wants to help. And he will help. Isaiah 40 says this. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. That's hope. We put our hope in the Lord, and he's going to give us strength. When we fall down, he wants to help pick us up. When we're having a hard time keeping going, he helps us keep going. And not just survive, because surviving isn't really what we were meant for. It's just getting through life, barely. Jesus wants you to thrive. And he wants you to soar. Have you ever seen an eagle fly? It doesn't fly like this. Like a little bird with tiny wings. The eagle just puts his wings out. And what does the wind do? The wind just carries the eagle, right? And occasionally he might be like. And then he just soars on some more and some more and some more. But in my life, I feel like this little tiny house bird, right? Running around, flapping around. And God's like, no, I made you and I will help you soar through life, not just panic and rush and be stressed and survive. I want to help you thrive. All right, so we have a new hope in Christ, which is fantastic. But it's not just ours alone. Did you know the hope is not just for you? That our life of faith was meant to not be a solo journey, not be a solo venture. It was meant to be shared. So I thought it'd be fun if we attach our next point to another movie. So we have a new hope, but we also have a new community. So I want you to take a look at the movie trailer for Ant-Man and the Wasp. Nice. It takes two to make a thing go right. You got to like Rod Bass, right? If you didn't know that's who that was. You guys, check this out. I love the trailer because it's about teamwork, right? That maybe he needs somebody watching his back like a partner. You guys, that's the Christian life, man. In a nutshell, it's walking together, following Jesus together in community. That you weren't meant to just do it alone. You're meant to do it with the people you're sitting with. You're meant to do it in your youth group community. You're meant to do that in your church, your local church community. And in a crazy big way, there's also this global community that we have as followers of Jesus, right? So I want you to take a look again at Titus 2. He gave his life to free us from every kind of sin and to cleanse us and to make us his very own people. A special people, right? a people set apart for God. If you remember, the nation of Israel was set apart for God. And sometimes they would forget who they were. And God would have to remind them they were meant to be a community of believers following Jesus and keeping him at the center, right? So as we keep Jesus at the center, we've got a new hope and now a new community. You guys, the blood of Christ unites the hearts of all believers together. And your new identity means that you're now part of a new family, the church. But you guys, I'm not just talking about a building, okay? The Bible says the church is the body of Christ. It's the people that make up the church, right? It's not just a physical address. It's not just a physical building with, a cross on the roof. It's the people inside it that make it function, right? It's the people that make up who the body of Christ is. And that might sound like a strange analogy, but the Bible uses the human body as an analogy for what the church is supposed to be like. So I want you to take a look at what it says here in Corinthians. It says the human body has many parts. Would you agree? Hands and feet and eyes and all that, right? But the many parts make up one whole body. And so it is with the body of Christ. And this is an analogy. It's not just talking about Jesus' body. It's not talking about his physical. It's talking about this analogy that we, as members of a church body, we make up Christ's body by the different functions that we play. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Now, that might sound a little bit strange, but I think you kind of get the idea. Here's the thing. You need one another. You need each other. And living for Jesus takes teamwork, and it takes you doing your part and someone else doing theirs. And together, we follow God and are made whole, really. So here are the different parts I want to talk about in this new community. You've got this giant picture of all the believers ever are in and part of God's family. That's like super mega big. Still really big is the global church. So we are brothers and sisters in Christ with the followers in China and with the believers in Russia and with the believers in Germany and France and Canada. Are you with me? We've got this global church. Now, we don't get to meet them and talk to them. We don't know them really, right? So on a smaller level, you've got your local church, the church you go to in your own town, right? And even within that church, you've got your own youth group family. And that's really where this message is going to hit you, is because those are the people that you're hanging with. Those are the people that you're seeing all the time. The friends that you're going to have and to do life together, right? So I think it's important that we redefine what this community looks like a little bit. That living in community with other people means that we have a role to play, right? What's the purpose of the church? Here's what Ephesians 3 says. God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. That God is using us and the church to be an example, even in the heavenly realms, of what he intended. That God uses the church also to share the message of his love with the world. You guys, as humans, we have a need for belonging and for community. And God designed us this way in his image and provided the church family to be a good gift for us to meet that need, that we need each other. And that your identity includes a new community. But you can't say you don't need the church. Because Christ died for the church, and it's through the church that he's going to share his forgiveness with the world. But I want you to understand this too. As good as the church is, it isn't perfect, okay? It's made up of sinful, broken people. And so maybe you've been hurt by the church, the local church. Maybe you've been hurt by your own youth group. And if that's you, I'm sorry. I'm sorry you've been hurt by the people of God. That doesn't feel good, and it doesn't seem right. But I want to encourage you with this. Even if you've been hurt by the local church or by your youth group, don't bail on community, because we still need community. And there are other believers, there are other people that you can connect with, and that the global church is still God's instrument for impacting the world. Can I give you just an example from my own life? Our church has small groups, and I'm in a small group with my wife, and we have like three other couples that we would meet with to have this kind of community body life with, right? And so Ken and Ellen are two of them, and so are Sean and Nicole, and so are Kyle and Beth. And over time, they've helped my wife and I. They helped us when we didn't have enough money to pay bills, and they gave money to our family. They helped when my wife was having surgery, and they brought meals to our family. And when one of my sons was sick with a stomach illness that we couldn't figure out and the doctors couldn't figure out, they prayed over my son. When life was hard and we were having a difficult time, they came alongside us and sat with us and prayed with us and cried with us. And these people were the church to my wife, Tina, and I, and to my kids. It wasn't the building, it wasn't the whole congregation, but it was this small group of believers that were living out what it meant to carry each other's burdens, right? The Bible calls us to lean on one another, right? And we need each other. And even as teenagers, you weren't meant to just live life on your own, you know? That God wants to help you connect with a youth group family, with even a local church, and be able to experience some of that. All right, so we've talked about a new hope. We talked about a new community. And our third one is connected to Spider-Man. And it's this one here. It's a new responsibility. Do you guys remember one of the famous quotes from the Spider-Man series? Yeah, with great power comes great responsibility. And I thought maybe that would just ring true in your mind for a minute. That as followers of God, as people who put our faith in Jesus, there's some things that now that God wants us to be a part of doing and caring for each other. So here are a few of them. Friendship. You guys can do this, right? Caring for each other. Look, you guys are caring for each other right now. A shoulder to lean on. That's great. But seriously, what does it really mean to look like to have a youth group that's not just a youth group, but really is the body of Christ working together, leaning on each other, sharing problems, sharing feelings, sharing burdens, and really learning to help each other through tough stuff. You know, what does that look like to be really connected and tight as a youth group family? What does it look like just to have a couple friends even that are also following Jesus that you can lean on together? I'll tell you what, it's easier to follow Jesus at school if there's a few friends at that school that are also trying to do the same thing, right? In Galatians 6, it says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ, helping each other through life. The next one, accountability, keeping each other on track. I don't know about you, but I need people in my life to help me keep and stay on track. Even though I've given my life to Jesus, it doesn't mean I always make good choices. And I need other people in my life reminding me, encouraging me, urging me, hey, Larry, choose right this time. Hey, make a good choice here. Hey, I know you got some options, but hey, when you're alone thinking about this, I want you to honor God. You need people in your life like that. And if I'm even more specific, you need people calling you out. Like, hey, you know what? I know you don't have a filter on your phone, and I know you look at stuff on the internet that you shouldn't, and I know you don't have restrictions locked down on that device, and I know that you've been looking at stuff and you shouldn't be. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put in a restriction password as your friend so that you can help have a pure mind. Wow. Not even asking parents to do that. What would that look like? Or, you know, maybe you're in a dating relationship and you have a friend that asks you, hey, what did you do this weekend? Where did you go? How much time alone did you spend? Were the lights out? Were the lights on? What part of her body did you touch? Whoa, that gets a little personal, right? And you start to invite people that are following Jesus to ask you pointed questions, right? Hey, how's your diet been lately? And I'm not just talking about losing weight. I'm talking about, did you eat enough? Because I know you've been starving yourself on the side. You've been worried about your image and you're too thin. And I know that you're wrestling with that and you need to get some help. And I want to help you. So I want you to eat some more calories today. That's vulnerable, right? That's intense. Or, hey, I know you've been depressed and I know you've been thinking about hurting yourself and I see those marks on your arm and I want to be a friend and I want to help you, but you need help. And I want you to tell our youth leader that you've been thinking about that and you've been harming yourself. What does it look like to have that kind of accountability? Well, maybe it'll save some lives. Maybe it'll save some hearts and maybe it'll save some purity and maybe we'll all follow Jesus a little bit better. Those friendships aren't easy to find. And it takes a little vulnerability and honesty on your part. Don't know if you're ready for it, But as a body of Christ, when we get real, we get gritty and we get raw, and we talk about life and we share and we create an environment that's safe to open up. Proverbs 27 says, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. Could you be iron to a friend of yours? Then they could be iron to you, and together you sharpen each other and hold each other accountable with some stuff going on in your life. And the last one is teamwork, working together to make a difference. Isn't that the point? That we're supposed to make a difference for God and the world, right? And we need to do that together. I love what Ecclesiastes 4 says. It says this, two are better than one. All right, say that with me. Two are better than one. Two are better than one. Here's why. The Bible tells us this. Because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Together, wound around one another, we're stronger, right? Like a rope. Here's what Ephesians 4 also says about our body and the body of Christ. It says, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. You guys, the Bible has specific roles and gifts that you've been given, jobs that God wants to have come out of you. And here's what he says about that in Romans 12. In his grace, check this out, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So think about yourself, all right? So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, then speak with as much faith as you've been given. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is encouragement to others, then encourage others. If it is giving, then give generously. And if God has given you leadership ability, take that leadership responsibility seriously. And if you have the gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. You got a role to play, a job to do, a responsibility to fulfill as part of God's family. You guys, I don't want you to miss this. As a new identity in Christ, we are together a new people, a blessed people, and we have a hope that Jesus is coming back to rescue us, but we also have hope in the present. You guys, I don't want this just to be words tonight, so I saved some time here at the end so that you could actually experience some community life and some body life together. So here's what we're going to do. For the next 5, 6, 7 minutes, I want you to get into a group of 2 or 3 or 4. And I want you to pray for each other. Teenagers praying for one another. Leaders praying for teenagers. Teenagers praying for leaders. What do you pray about? Whatever you want. Whatever you need. You need prayer for something? I want to pray for it. If your grandma's having a hard time, if you're just not feeling great, if you're wrestling with something, in this moment, I want you to learn what it looks like to lean on each other. But I also know you might have some heavier stuff in your life that maybe you're not ready to share with another student, but maybe you need another leader to know about it. So I'm going to do this. I'm going to invite your youth leaders to stand and just move to the center aisle. Okay. Just stand and move to the center aisle near your students. Okay. That way you as a student, you know where your leader is. If you would specifically like prayer from one of your leaders, I want you to go talk to them and ask them to pray for you. For the rest of you, I want you to talk to some friends and get into a group of 2 or 3 or 4 and pray for each other for a few minutes. And then we'll have John Tibbs close us with a song. All right, would you pray with me? Jesus, I am just so touched and blessed to see these students being the body of Christ to each other. Living in community, praying together, leaning on one another. God, I pray that that would grow and that you would help them do that throughout their life. God, would you bless these youth groups? Help them to really become a tight family for you. And not just here, but also back home. God, and that their churches would benefit from them playing the role and the responsibilities and the things that you have given and watching them use their gifts and talents for you. God, we need your help. Thank you that we have a new hope in you. And we pray that you bless our discussion groups and bless our evening. In Jesus' name, amen.